Chapter 13. The Treasure. The crew of the Jeune Amélie were smugglers. At first, Captain Baldi suspected that Dantès was a customs officer. But very soon, Baldi was happy with the Maltese. Everyone on the Jeune Amélie liked Dantès, and Jacopo the Corsican became his good friend. The captain saw that Dantès was a good sailor. He found out that Dantès knew many small islands where the smugglers could hide their ship. After this, Baldi asked no more questions, and he paid Dantès well. For 2 months, the Jeune Amélie sailed along the coasts of the countries around the Mediterranean. At last, they reached Leghorn in Italy. Dantès went ashore to find a barber. He asked the man to cut his long hair and shave his beard. When the barber had removed all of Dantès' beard with a sharp razor, Dantès looked in a mirror. He was surprised when he saw his face. He was thin, and there were many more lines around his sad eyes. "My family and friends won't recognize me," he thought. "I don't recognize myself." Next, he bought new clothes, a pair of white trousers, a shirt with blue and white stripes, and a hat. A few days later, the Jeune Amélie left Leghorn and sailed south. The ship was carrying a cargo of cigars, sherry, and wine. The smugglers were going to take these things to a secret place on the coast of Corsica. Another ship was going to smuggle the cargo to France. The next morning, Captain Baldi saw Dantès standing on the deck of the Jeune Amélie. The ship was passing the small island of Monte Cristo. Dantès was staring across the sea at the island. Every night, for 3 months, Dantès had dreamed about the treasure on Monte Cristo. "I could jump off the ship and swim to Monte Cristo in half an hour," he thought. But what would the crew say? What would Captain Baldi think? "The smugglers suspect that I have a secret. I don't want them to follow me. No, I must wait. I'll return to the island alone." Dantès had waited 14 years for his freedom, and now he was free. He could wait another 6 months or a year for his treasure. But was there really any treasure? Or was it only poor Faria's dream? Of course, there was Spada's letter. Dantès remembered every word of it. 2 months passed, and the Jeune Amélie returned to Leghorn. One evening, Captain Baldi took Dantès to an inn in the town. Dantès had visited the inn many years before. He knew that smugglers went there. Baldi thought that Dantès would soon leave the Jeune Amélie, but he wanted Dantès to stay and become a smuggler. He told Dantès his plan. The Jeune Amélie was going to meet a Turkish ship which carried a cargo of Turkish carpets and cloth from Kashmir. The two captains needed a secret place to meet. They were going to move the cargo from the Turkish ship to the Jeune Amélie. The smugglers did not want the customs officers to see this.
"We'll use the island of Monte Cristo," said Baldi to the Turkish captain. "No customs officers will find us there. Take your cargo to the island and we'll collect it later."
Dantès was very excited. This was his lucky chance. Now he could get to the island and find Faria's treasure. Several days later, the Jeune Amélie reached Monte Cristo. At 10 o'clock that night, the crew dropped the ship's anchor and the Jeune Amélie stopped near the shore. Dantès lowered a boat over the side of the ship and rowed towards the island. The Jeune Amélie's crew worked all through the night. They picked up the cargo, which had been left by the Turkish smugglers. Then they loaded it onto the Jeune Amélie. In the morning, everyone rested on the soft sand of the shore, but Dantès did not rest. He told the smugglers that he was going to shoot one of the wild goats that lived on the island.
"We'll have a good meal of goat meat when I return," he said.
Then he took a gun and walked away from the shore. Jacopo called out,
I'll come with you.
Half an hour later, Dantès killed a small goat. Take it back to the others, he told Jacopo. They can cook it. When the meat is cooked, fire a gun and I'll return. Jacopo went back to the shore with the goat and Dantès walked further across the island. He climbed up to the top of a high rock and looked down at the shore. The smugglers were busy by the fire. Dantès remembered Count Spada's letter and the words that Faria had written. Go ashore where there is a little creek. Walk east until you see a line of rocks. Lift the 20th rock and find the entrance of two caves. The treasure is in the corner of the second cave. Dantès began to walk across the island. After more than an hour, he found a path between two walls of rock. He went down the path and onto the shore. As he walked beside the sea, Dantès looked at the rocks above the shore. He began to count them. 1, 2, 3. Each rock had small marks on them. Had a man made these marks? But the 20th rock had no marks on it. Perhaps I've made a mistake, Dantès thought. There is no cave here, only a very large rock. Perhaps I'm going in the wrong direction. I'll go back and start again. He walked back past the rocks and along the path. When the smugglers saw Dantès, the captain called to him.
Maltese! He shouted. The meat is cooked!
The men watched Dantès coming down to the shore. They saw him jumping from rock to rock. Suddenly, his foot slipped on the edge of a rock, and he fell. The men ran to help him. When they reached Dantès, he was lying on the ground. They tried to lift him, but Dantès cried out.
Stop! He shouted. I've injured my back. I can't move. Leave me. Go and eat your meal. Let me rest.
Later, the smugglers tried to move Dantès again. Once more, he cried out. His face was pale.
Perhaps you've broken some of your ribs, said Baldi. We'll stay here until this evening. We can try to move you then.
No, you must return to the Jeune Amélie, said Dantès. You must sell the cargo. Continue your journey. Leave me some bread and rum. And leave me some gunpowder for my gun and a pickaxe. I'll get better soon, I'm sure. Make a small fire for me here. I can shoot a goat and cook the meat on the fire. And I can use the pickaxe to build a shelter.
Very well, said the captain. We'll be away for a week. We'll come back for you in 7 days.
Jacopo wanted to stay with Dantès.
You're a good friend to me, Jacopo, said Dantès. But you must go with the others.
Very well, Maltese, said the Corsican. Good luck!
An hour later, the Jeune Amélie sailed away from Monte Cristo. When he could not see the ship's sails, Dantès stood up. There was nothing wrong with him. He had no injuries. He smiled, picked up the gun and the pickaxe, and ran towards the big rock. When he reached it, he walked all around it. How did Spada lift this rock without any help? He said to himself. Of course, he didn't lift it. He pushed it down here. Dantès looked at the ground around the rock. Then he used his pickaxe to dig a small hole beside the rock. Next, he poured some gunpowder into the hole. He tore off a long piece of cloth from his shirt and put one end of it into the gunpowder. He made a flame and held it against the cloth. The piece of material began to burn. Dantès ran from the big rock and stood behind a smaller one. After a few seconds, the flame reached the gunpowder. It exploded with a loud bang. Dantès saw that the big rock had moved a few meters. It was now lying on some soft earth and small stones at the edge of a slope. Dantès pushed against the rock with all his strength. After a moment or two, the rock moved and began to roll down the slope. The rock rolled faster and faster until it fell into the sea. There was a flat, square stone where the rock had been lying. In the stone, there was a large metal ring. Dantès pulled on the ring and slowly lifted up the stone. It was a door. Below the door, there were some steps that went down under the ground. He had found the caves. Dantès went down the steps into the first cave. The air in the cave was cool and pleasant, and daylight came through a hole in the roof. He looked round the cave, but it was empty. Then he remembered the words in the letter. The treasure is in the corner of the second cave. Where was the second cave? He knocked on the walls of the cave with a pickaxe. In one place, the sound was different. Dantès hit the wall again, but this time he used the sharp end of the pickaxe. He hit the wall hard, and the rock fell away. Behind it, there were some square white stones. Dantès removed these quickly, and soon there was a big hole. When he climbed through the hole to the second cave, he saw that it was empty. Perhaps the treasure is buried in the corner under the floor, he thought. He walked across to the corner of the cave and began to dig. After a few minutes, he had removed many meters of earth and stones. Suddenly, his pickaxe hit something. He dug deeper. It was a wooden chest. Dantès dug the earth away until he could see all of the chest. On the top of it, there was a square of silver with a picture of a sword. Faria had told Dantès that this was the mark of the Spadas. Dantès opened the lid of the chest with a pickaxe. Inside, there was a wonderful treasure. Gold coins, silver, and very many jewels of all kinds. Dantès touched some of the coins and the jewels. Was he awake, or was it a dream? He laughed and danced round the cave. Then he fell onto his knees and thanked God. The next day, Dantès began to think more calmly. He filled his pockets with coins and jewels. Then he put the chest back into the hole in the floor. He covered the hole with some earth and stones and walked back through the caves. He shut the stone door at the top of the steps. Then he covered the door with earth and stones and he planted some small bushes in the earth. Next, he took a branch from a tree and carefully removed all his footmarks. 6 days later, the Jeune Amélie returned to Monte Cristo. Jacopo and three other men rowed a longboat to the shore. Dantès told the smugglers that he felt much better. When the Jeune Amélie reached Leghorn, Dantès went to a jeweller's shop. He sold four of the smallest jewels from the treasure chest. The jeweller gave Dantès 20,000 francs for the jewels, and he asked no questions. The next day, Dantès bought a boat and went to speak to Jacopo. Dantès and Jacopo had become good friends. Dantès liked the Corsican, and he needed his help, but he did not tell the smuggler about the treasure. He gave the boat to Jacopo and asked him to sail it to Marseille. Then he gave Jacopo some gold coins. "Take this money to pay a crew," he said. Jacopo was very surprised. "My uncle has died and left me a lot of money," said Dantès. "I won't have to work as a sailor any more." Then he told Jacopo that he knew how to get a lot more money. Jacopo was interested in this idea. He agreed to sail the boat to Marseille. "When you reach Marseille," said Dantès, "find out everything about an old man called Louis Dantès and a young woman called Mercedes." Dantès went to Captain Baldi and told him that he was leaving the Jeune Amélie. He gave presents to the captain and the crew and said goodbye. Then he went to buy a yacht. This little boat was small and fast, and Dantès could sail it alone. Dantès sailed first to Genoa and then to the island of Monte Cristo. When he reached Monte Cristo, Dantès went ashore and walked all around the island. There was no one there. He was alone. That night, he slept for only a few hours. He was very excited. At sunrise, Dantès began to remove the treasure. He worked all through the day. By the evening, all the treasure was hidden in his yacht. For 7 days, Dantès watched the sea. He sailed slowly around the island. On the 8th day, he saw the sails of Jacopo's boat. Soon, he was anchored beside it. Jacopo told him the sad news that he had heard in Marseille. Old Louis Dantès was dead, and Mercedes had disappeared. On a fine day, a few weeks later, Dantès arrived in the port of Marseille. "I can't use the name Edmond Dantès anymore," he thought. "People will be looking for Edmond Dantès, the prisoner who escaped from Chateau d'If. I want to stay a free man. A lucky chance and dear Faria have made me a rich man. Perhaps I can start a new life with a new name. I shall become the Count of Monte Cristo." He smiled. "I like it," he said. Now it was time to find his enemies and take revenge.
The Treasure of Monte Cristo by Alexander Dumas. Retold by John Escott. Published by Macmillan Heinemann ELT, a division of Macmillan Publishers Limited. Copyright Macmillan Publishers Limited, 2007.